going to be talking to you tonight about the Holy Ghost. I just felt the other night as we were in prayer meeting, God began to quicken some scriptures to my heart, and I began to just jot down some notes. And when Brother Trammell called me and asked me to preach tonight, I felt like that God just kind of spoke to me and said those notes were for tonight. So I'm going to be talking to you about the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and verses 12 and 13, and I just want to read a few verses of Scripture here tonight to give us a foundation, and then we'll go right on. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." And then in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and verse 26. Through 29. "For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now the previous scripture, the one we just read, says by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. And this one says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And then in chapter 6 of that same book, Galatians 6 and verse 15, the scripture says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." So in Christ Jesus, and the way that you get into Christ Jesus is you're baptized into Him by one Spirit. And in Him, the only thing that avails is a new creature. That's the only thing that avails. Paul wrote to one group of people, and I believe it was these Galatians. He said, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh?" Now, when we begin to walk with God in the Spirit, when we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our lives, and we begin to walk with God in the Spirit, and we are led of the Spirit of God, when we are in that condition, we are still carrying all of the baggage that we had before we came to God. We're still carrying this old flesh. We have become a person of two natures, just as Jesus Christ in the flesh was a man of two natures. He was perfect God and He was perfect man. And as long as I am in this flesh, I still have the capabilities of doing the works of the flesh and walking after the lust of the flesh. As long as I am in this body, those capabilities are within me. But I want you to know, as long as I walk after the flesh, I am not doing the will of God and cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The only thing that avails with God is a new creature. Only in that newness of life can we avail with Jesus Christ. Go into Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and verses 18 through 22. "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Praise God. I'd like for you to look at your neighbor tonight. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if God dwells in you, I'd like for you to look at your neighbor and say, I'm a habitation of God. I'm a habitation of God. God lives here. Praise God. I want you to know it is the most marvelous thing that God would look upon you and I and say, I will come and make my abode with you. It is such a marvelous thing. Whenever it is mind-boggling to me to think that the God that created everything would look down upon such a worm as I and come and knock on my heart's door and said, I want to come and live here. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. Where is the house that you have built for me? He said, all of my hands have made these things. But yet he said, to this man will I look, to him that is humble, of a contrite spirit, him that will come unto me, pouring his heart out, repenting of his sins, and offering himself unto me. He said, that's the man I'm going to look at. That's the person I'm going to come into. That's the one I want to dwell in. You can't build him a temple with stone and brick and mortar and metal. You just can't put together anything with your hands that God would say, yeah, I'll have respect to that house. But oh, I want you to know, through obedience to the Word of God, you can put together something that God would be pleased to dwell in. And we are built up together as an habitation of God. The Scripture says there that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. One of the apostles was preaching. He said, all of the prophets, from Samuel, even right on down to this time, have spoken of these days. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In John the 20th chapter and the 22nd verse, Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection, breathed upon his apostles and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Men that had covenanted with Jesus in the flesh for 3.5 years, men that had been taught of him daily, men that had seen his miracles, heard his parables, seen the mighty manifestations of the power of God through him, men that were going to be commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Jesus breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now they did not receive the Holy Ghost at that particular point in time. He just breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Ghost, because he was talking to the same group of people a little bit later on in Acts the 1st chapter, whenever he had led them out of the city a little ways and was still talking to them about the things concerning the kingdom of God. And he told them, he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. He told them, he said, you just tarry in Jerusalem. You wait in Jerusalem. You go to Jerusalem and you just stay there and you wait and you tarry. And you will be endued with power from on high, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. with all of their training, with all of their instruction, with all of their teaching, with all of their exampling that they had seen Jesus doing, they were not enabled, they were not empowered to be witnesses unto Him until they had received the Holy Ghost. Got nothing against Bible college. But you can go to Bible college till you're blue in the face. You can read the Word of God from daylight to dark. You can search, you can study, you can write commentaries. But until you are endued with the Holy Ghost, until you have been baptized into Jesus Christ by that one Spirit, you are not even able, entitled to be a witness. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. I've had people ask me, well, why tongues? Because God said so. Because God said so. Praise God. Really, we don't need any other reason than that. James talks to us about the evil of the tongue. He talks to us about its unruliness. And I really believe that every one of you that have received the Holy Ghost will be able to testify that whenever you were in sin, your tongue betrayed you many times. But we don't need any other reason than the fact that God said, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. Jesus said this, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What did the prophet Isaiah say? He said, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest. Praise God. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What did Isaiah say? This is the rest. And this is the refreshing. Praise God. There is a rest for the people of God. It's all wrapped up in stammering lips and another tongue. It's all wrapped up in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's all wrapped up in what Jesus Christ has said He would be able to give us. It's all wrapped up in what came whenever the day of Pentecost was fully come. It's the refreshing. It's the rest. Thank God. It is that new creature that we can become in Him when we are baptized by that one Spirit into Him. Praise God. God has a new covenant. He says, I'm going to make a new covenant with them. I'm going to do something new with them. Praise God. I'm going to put my law in their hearts. I'm going to write it in their mind. Praise God. I'm going to do something new for them. It's not going to be written on tables of stone. It's going to be written in their heart. It's going to be in their mind. I'm going to do that. A new covenant. Now that He has set a new covenant, He has made that first one old. The first one is an old. This is a new. He takes away the first that He may establish the second. The Holy Ghost is a witness to us. Praise God. By one offering, He has sanctified them. The Holy Ghost is that witness to us. He said, this is that covenant that I'm going to make with you. The Holy Ghost is that witness. That's what writes it in our hearts. That's what writes it in our minds. That's what makes us a new creature. Praise God. He's going to forget everything past. But He's going to establish a new covenant. And the Holy Ghost is the witness of that covenant. I have said it before. I'll say it again probably several times. But the New Testament does not begin with Matthew 1:1. The New Testament begins with Acts 2:4. Everything that Jesus Christ did in the flesh, He did under the law.
He was circumcised according to the law. He was named according to the law. The offerings were made according to the law. He was crucified by those that occupied the position of Aaron. He was delivered up under the law. He was made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law. Everything that Jesus Christ did in his flesh, he did under the old covenant. But he said, oh, there's coming a time I'm going to make a new covenant. And he is the minister of that new covenant. And he it is that has poured out the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the witness of the new covenant. Somebody said, well, you know, I've made the statement. I said, it's unfortunate that the Bible divides at Matthew 1:1. I don't think, I'm going to back up on that. Because I think the hand of God was in this. Because people will take this Bible and break it at Matthew 1:1 and say, I'm going to take the new Bible. And I'm not going to take the old Bible. But I want you to know that whenever you're reading Matthew 1:1 and Luke and John and Mark, you're still reading Old Testament events. You're still reading about a Levitical priesthood. You're still reading about offerings and sacrifices and washings. You're still reading the things of the old covenant. And it's not until after Jesus Christ has been offered the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world, and he has been buried, and he has been resurrected, thank God, and he has ascended up on high, and he has poured out this which you both see and hear, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So the New Testament began. You can't go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find salvation for your soul because you're still under the old covenant. You've got to come into the Acts of the Apostles to find out how you can be saved, because that the Holy Ghost is the witness of the new covenant that God has established with us in writing His law in our hearts and in our minds. That's the only witness that you have. It's the Holy Ghost. It's got to be that way. It's because God said through the prophet Joel, said, in the last days I'm going to pour out of my spirit on all flesh. On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:4, the Holy Ghost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Harking back to the prophecy of Joel, let me just read the last few words of that prophecy there. And in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And Peter said, for this promise is to you. Talking to those that were in his congregation that day, is to you. And this promise is to your children, the next generation. The promise is to you that are present today. The promise is to your children, the next generation. And to all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. They can't come up out of the Bible schools today with a message that was only for that generation. That was only for that congregation. That was only for those that were assembled there on that day. My friend, this thing is for you. It's for your children. It's for all of the remnant, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. How can you call upon Him of whom you have not heard? How can you hear of Him without a preacher? Praise God. He preached to them Jesus Christ. The prophet said that if everyone that calls upon His name shall be saved. Thank God. You just got to know how to call on His name. You got to know what His name is. You got to know how to call on His name. You got to know how to believe on Him, as the Scripture has said. Praise God. John the Baptist come on the scene in the early part of each of the four Gospels, and he preached a promise. He preached a promise. Praise God. A promise. Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. A promise. The Holy Ghost is coming. A promise. You've got a promise coming down the road. You've got a promise. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. You've got a promise. I don't have it. I'm not preaching it. I'm not bringing it. But there's one coming after me. You've got a promise coming that you can have the Holy Ghost. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Scripture says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The apostle writing in Romans 8:14 said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can't become a son of God until you receive the Spirit of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You haven't arrived when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've just got what it takes to arrive. You haven't attained when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've just received what it takes to attain. You haven't laid hold of eternal life when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've just received what it takes to lay hold of eternal life. John 3:3, Jesus' testimony to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except, and we could say, unless. There's no other way. Whenever he says except, he's saying there is no other way. That is the only way. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. One of the original scriptures we read tonight in laying the foundation, Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. The only thing that avails in God is a new creature. That's the reason why that Jewish ruler of a synagogue that came to Jesus confessing faith in him. He wasn't just saying we believe. He was saying we know that you've come from God. And Jesus' response to that confession was, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's nothing that avails. Nothing avails but a new creature. Praise God. When I came to the Lord Jesus Christ better than 32 years ago, knelt in an altar, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. God gave me the power to become. And as long as I would yield myself to the Spirit of God and be led by the Spirit of God, I could be called a son of God. But I want you to know, I mentioned earlier, I'm carrying all of the baggage around with me that I was born with. And I still have the ability within me to do dirty, nasty, sinful things. But the only thing that I really need to keep that old carnal nature under me is a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's not a fact of history that I received the Holy Ghost, because the only thing that avails is a new creature. God's not a God of the past. He's a God of the present. The Holy Ghost is not a fact of the past. Thank God it's an experience of the present moment to keep you from lying. All you need is a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost to keep you from backbiting your neighbor. All you need is a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost to keep you in love with the standards of holiness that are preached across this pulpit. All you need is a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. All you need to be to please God is a new creature. Old things passed away, all things become new, all things of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17, I believe. Or it's close to there, you can look it up. John, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse, talking to a woman of Samaria, a sinner woman. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse 14 of that same chapter, John 4. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. John 7, verses 37 through 39. Just the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Told that woman, if you knew what the gift of God was, if you knew who I was, you would ask, and I would give you a drink. You'd never thirst again. Here he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It wasn't poured out upon all flesh, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh, my friend, tonight, what we need above everything else in this life, those of you that have never received the Holy Ghost, you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this service tonight. You need to have the Spirit of God come unto you. You need to get that refreshing, that rest, that drink. Thank God, you need to get the Spirit of God alive in you. And those of you that have received the Holy Ghost, you need to start singing to it. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Thank God, it's going to be in you a well of living water springing up unto everlasting life. And I need to cry out to it, spring up, oh well. When things are not going right for me in this world, I need to cry out to the Holy Ghost to spring up within me. Because the only thing that I have, the only thing that will be effective for me, is being a new creature. Having the Holy Ghost rolling, flowing. Thank God. I want you to know it's possible to stop up wells. Oh, thank God. Just throw the junk out of them. Just throw the junk out of them. Begin to clap your hands and sing and praise and worship God. I've heard people say we need a baptism of love. If you want a baptism of love, my friend, all you've got to do is get that well springing up within you. Let become that new creature and you will love just like God loves. I've heard people say we need a baptism of this and we need a baptism of that. All we need is to refresh what God gave us in the beginning. You want a revival church? Thank God you just start praying that God will put that same vibrancy and life in you that He did in the very beginning. Are you so foolish tonight, having begun in an altar, pouring your heart out to God, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, can you rise up and let old stinking self and flesh get in the way and make you perfect? Absolutely not. The only thing that avails with God is a new creature. Would you stand with us tonight? Praise God. I've just scratched the surface on what the Bible says about that promise. I've just scratched the surface. I'm just trying to kind of blend some things together for you. The apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ Himself. But the only thing we really need tonight is a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Praise God. That's all you need.